Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you as we launch into this Tuesday, April the 13th, 2021. My friend John Couch, engineering and producing the show, and together, a big welcome to you. 11th year now on the radio and the Green Things Zocalo Village, our radio station, 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, the call letters KVOI, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which is also your source for all of our podcasts. Every day show gets put up on the podcast and then we archive it. So there's over 10 years of Buckmaster shows now archived at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line and resume our every other month interview series presented by Pima Community College to introduce our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators of Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line, Greg Wilson is with us. Mr. Wilson, the Dean of Applied Technology at Pima Community College. Dean Wilson, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's good to be back with you again. Thank you.
Yeah, the next time, hopefully you'll be with us in studio. You were with us a year or so ago, and it's always a pleasure, Greg, to have you on the program. And I know you're very excited about this new Automotive Technology and Innovation Center. Let our listeners know what this is all about, please.
Absolutely. So if you remember when I visited you in studio before the pandemic, I shared a little bit about our aviation expansion. Well, as part of our Center of Excellence in Applied Technology, we are completing the building of an Automotive Technology and Innovation Center. If you have been out driving around town and have been by downtown campus at Speedway and Stone, you've probably seen a new building going up with a blue roof. That is the Automotive Technology and Innovation Center. And so we're very excited that it will be opening very soon. Just to give you a little bit about the details, our current automotive program is in a space that's about 11,000 square feet. So it's pretty cramped. And the new building comes in at just under 50,000 square feet.
Wow.
So we're going to have a lot more room to train students.
Do you have some automotive partners who have joined the team?
Yes. You know, when we talk about a center of excellence, of course, it's great to have a big new building and shiny equipment. But when you really think about the philosophy of a center of excellence, it's all about the partnerships. And so we've been doing that all along, really trying to improve our relations with both the high schools and industry. And a couple of years ago, we actually joined our advisory group, which is, you know, those are the industry partners that really drive what our program does as far as the standards that they apply at the work site. So those are the types of things that we do and implement in our programs. Well, we had our separate advisory. The high schools in the area had a separate advisory, and we decided to join our advisories together. So we went from, you know, maybe a couple of dozen meeting here or 10 meeting there. The current advisory, the joint advisory, has a roster of about 70, and we meet three times a year, and we usually bring in about 50 every time we meet. So it's great to just have everybody in the room, or in this case on screen, together talking about all of the options or say the upcoming career fair. So we all coordinate. We all receive our guidance from industry. That's the big partnership. The industry partners certainly had provided guidance on the space itself, you know, making sure that we were spending our money wisely. And so the 50,000 square foot building will have partnerships for our regular training, right? We have dual enrollment partnerships with Vail District, TUSD, Sarita, Flowing Wells. So high school students earn dual enrollment credit from Pima at no charge. And we will have space for those students to come in and continue their learning with the college. And then we are also going to have spaces for OEMs, which are original equipment manufacturers. So if you think about your Toyotas, your Fords, we will have training space in the new building for them to train employees of existing companies. So again, getting back to that philosophy, it's important that we are reskilling those that are already in industry, not just those that are coming out of high school or changing careers.
What kind of a business is it these days? I know that the days of working on your own car, even changing the oil, all that kind of thing. These cars are so incredibly sophisticated. You've got to be very talented these days to work on a modern-day automobile, Greg Wilson.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, many of us always refer to, you know, their computer chips on wheels.
Yeah.
Constantly learning, you know, how to diagnose the new problem. And so we actually handle that in many different ways. And we still have older cars as well, especially in this area. And I'll talk about that in a bit when we talk about the car show that's coming up. But yes, faculty, our program just went through an ASC master level accreditation visit. And so we partner with industry and those that are accrediting programs, top programs around the country. And so we shoot for the highest standard, right? So we are a master level program. We just went through that visit back in November. And so we're good for a few more years of our accreditation. But we focus on current technology. So if you were to come into the new building, you're going to see 2018, 2020, 2021 vehicles. Because we're staying current with what's out there. And again, that's where industry really influences what we do. You've certainly talked about electric vehicles. The new building will have that infrastructure so we can have electric vehicles and prepare students to handle that when they get into industry.
What about this car show you mentioned? I heard it's coming up in a week or so.
Yes, Saturday, April 24th, the Tucson Street Rod Association. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, and we will be hosting the 46th annual Rodders Day show at the downtown campus. And so it's going to be the first public event that the college has done since the pandemic. And the show features cars from pre-1992, so you're going to get a lot of muscle cars, hot rods, but they also have specialty features as well. So there'll be there will be power from the past. They'll have some antique engines and tractors. They also do vintage camping and travel trailers. It's going to be a really fun day. We're going to have food trucks out there, some music. DJ John, if you're familiar with him, will be playing some good tunes. And keep in mind, we will be implementing safety protocols, so masks will be needed. But it's going to be a great event. We suspended last year's event, obviously, so it'll be good to have everybody back out. We're going to have they're actually going to have a display of some Teslas and electric vehicles as well. So it's going to be a good mix. If you're into cars, no matter what type, we'll have something for you.
Is that the North Stone location for that?
That's correct. 1255 North Stone. And we'll be on the west side of the parking lot of downtown campus in front of the new Automotive Technology and Innovation Center. And before I forget, we are going to do a virtual ribbon cutting on Tuesday, April 27th. So if you can't make it out to the car show, you can stream the ribbon cutting at PCC TV Stream.
Greg, while we have you, and you're Dean of Applied Technology, give us a quick overview. What do you have in your portfolio, Greg Wilson?
Top to bottom, we've got AIT, which is our robotics program, aviation, automotive, building and construction, computer-aided design. We have an energy program that we partner with, TEP and Southwest Gas. We do advanced machining, and we do welding. And sneak peek, if you come out to the car show, you'll see across the parking lot, there's a big hole in the ground because we're also building a three-story, 100,000-square-foot advanced manufacturing building that'll host our manufacturing programs as well as some community space to do meetings, and we'll have a business incubator, an idea lab. It's going to be fantastic.
Hey, Greg, before we let you go, the aviation industry is really getting all fired up and back in business after a very tough year. This must be good news to your students.
It is, but, you know, surprisingly, when planes are down like they have been for the last year, there's actually a lot more maintenance for just ground operations.
Yeah.
And so that's actually part of our program. And yes, we've seen a demand all through the year for our students because they come out with that skill set as well. But yes, you're right. Everybody's looking forward to getting back on planes. And, you know, it seems like the record for those on planes every day seems to keep going up. So, yeah, we're ready to get back to business as normal. And since I mentioned it, the aviation expansion, that building is also going on and should be done later this year, probably into January.
Boy, you got a lot on your plate there, Greg Wilson, at Pima Community College. But the bottom line is you are a 21st century operator in getting kids, young people, ready for the future. And that's what's really exciting to me, Greg.
You know, we were the first college in the country to offer an autonomous vehicle operator certificate. Our workforce team led several divisions putting that together. So we are all about innovation. And of course, you know, I still have to sell the everyday normal stuff. Just so you know, Bill, summer classes start June 1st and fall classes will start August 19th. And we're open for registration if you want to come back out and come back to class.
You're going to be virtual or a combat hybrid, or what are you going to be?
Well, for summer, yes, still hybrid. But the plan is to bring classes back fully in fall when we start on August 19th. That doesn't mean, I mean, obviously we'll still have Pima online courses available summer and fall, but we expect to be back on campuses for the fall semester.
All right, good deal. Greg Wilson, always a pleasure to catch up with you, Dean of Applied Technology at Pima. And if people want really more information, a good starting point would be pima.edu. Is that correct, Greg?
You got it exactly right, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Greg Wilson from Pima Community College with us. I want to tell our listeners about Mona's Danish Bakery. What a great place to get a great pastry and perhaps maybe a great place for you to work. The Help Wanted sign is out at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. That's that delicate, flaky, layered, light and tasty, multi-layered pastry. I'll tell you, you will enjoy it. And also, the Danish coffee cake is really fantastic as well. Open right now, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're doing lunch. I think you could still get breakfast easily as well. Breakfast starts at 6:30. In the morning. So check it out. We love Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. You can order online. You can call ahead or stop by, as so many people have done. Find out what all the excitement is about. People go into the bakery and they can eat in the bakery or dine out on the patio. Shelley Fishman is coming up next with us. Shelley's giving me a thumbs up today, and we will find out why as we continue with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report right after this. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. the RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman, for our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Hey, Shell, how are you?
I am well, and so is the market.
Well, the market started down on the news about Johnson & Johnson and the pause in the vaccine distribution. Is that because it is, Johnson & Johnson is one of your blue chips.
And a member of the Dow.
The Dow, right.
And so a gross negative hit on the Johnson & Johnson stock would drag the Dow down. So let's not look at the Dow today. It's almost flat, by the way. It's at down about 14.
Okay.
It had been down, I think, 200. Close to 200 early this morning. But the S&P 500 is up almost 0.5%, and the NASDAQ is up over 1% for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we are looking at is, you know, another round of either record-breaking or close to record-breaking numbers on these indices. And I scratch my head and I go, why? You know, why should we be expecting another 20 or 30% year in the NASDAQ and another 14 or 15 or 16% year in the S&P? And the only thing I can come up with is unfettered optimism about where this economy is going and how long this improvement in the economy will last.
Well, we've said before on the program, I may have said it last week, that there's choppy waters always when you're making these predictions. You're not making them, but there is this optimism, this prediction of optimism. But the choppy waters could be that maybe the vaccination will not be, and we've already seen the hesitancy among perhaps as many as 1 in 3 Americans to get the shot. And I wonder if that could slow our economic recovery.
It could. Mm-hmm. There are any number of things that could be troubling in terms of the stability and calm that an economy needs to move ahead in a, you know, more straight line rather than highly volatile way. But you know, you certainly talk about COVID, and I think most of us believe that COVID, we can see past the tunnel and kind of a time in the very near future where this pandemic will not be behind us necessarily, but will be mostly behind us. But we see what's happening with the George Floyd trial and in Brooklyn, of all places, Minnesota. And
your
the
hometown.
Kind of, well,
not,
Brooklyn, New
not
York.
The, I know. Now, I didn't even know there was a Brooklyn, Minnesota, but unfortunately there was an incident there.
But so much of the naming of what happened in and around New York City goes back to the Dutch.
Sure.
And goes back to Northern European naming. So it's not surprising in Minnesota where so many names are derived from Northern European origins that you'd have a Brooklyn.
This business roundtable, they're pretty optimistic as well, aren't they?
You know, they are. And what was interesting just last week is Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, but he's also on the board of directors of the Business Roundtable, issued his annual report to shareholders. And this wasn't just a letter, you know, two pages of boilerplate saying nice thing. He wrote a 66, well, his staff wrote 66. A 66-page letter to shareholders in which he outlined what he considered to be both the things that would slow the economy down and the things that he believed would move the economy ahead. And his overall optimism, you know, peeked out of this letter in so many ways. In addition to just talking about the large amounts of cash that are going to be in the economy, but he took what he considered to be a boom in economic growth past 2022 and said this could last into 2023.
Really?
Now, when people make forecasts out 2 years, that's really, you know, putting your reputation on the line.
But he thinks there's enough wind in the sails to keep it going into 23?
He does. He thinks that the economy and all the cash that's built up in the economy, plus a very compliant and involved Fed and a very compliant and evolved Treasury, can do the things they need to do to keep the economy going and to keep inflation in check. In fact, in the 66 pages, I couldn't find the word inflation. He is just not worried about it.
Wow.
Now he
and with
he does,
critics, that's usually the big thing you see.
Especially with bankers.
Yeah.
So he wasn't worried about that. He did talk about some global uncertainties. And, you know, there are now some things going on in the world that are troubling. I don't think they're as troubling as some people make them out to be, but certainly the conflict right now in Ukraine.
Yes.
And how NATO is going to push back against Russia on that.
That is certainly a trouble spot. For sure.
And
China.
Well, China and Taiwan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you would expect that those kinds of concerns would be reflected in investor confidence in the markets going forward. Don't see it at all.
Mm.
So investors, at least, are thinking that the world leaders will be able to manage this and keep it under wraps. Mm. So, you know, that said, what Dimon does talk about is he talks about income inequality as a real problem, and he talks about the politics and some of the voter laws that are being considered in, I think, 26 or 27 of the states.
Some call it voter suppression.
Well, I call
some
it
call
voter
it
suppression.
Election reform,
right.
Whatever.
Right. But the Business Roundtable and business in general does not intend to be silent on this. Now, we're seeing some of it already relative to the situation in Georgia. But there was a conference call earlier or late part of last week. And, you know, my memory is failing me in terms of how many business leaders were on the call, but it was more than a few dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And the consensus that came out of that call was we've got to stop this. We have a stake in the ongoing and successful democracy that is all-inclusive in this country, and we will make our voices known. Now, that is a tremendous statement from, you know, the country's top 30, 40, or 50 business
the
leaders.
The titans of industry.
Weighing in. I mean, so, you know, we're already seeing many of these companies withholding contributions from some politicians who have taken more aggressive stances toward suppressing the vote. We may see more of that. Mm-hmm. So, and Dimon calls it out in the letter, and he spends a lot of time talking about infrastructure and the need to make sure, as your previous guest and you chatted about, that people who are not college-bound are well-educated and are suitable for this economy going forward, because there's a lot to do and a lot that can be done.
Yeah, that's why I'm so excited to talk to the gentleman from Pima about what they're doing.
Exactly.
For those
can I pre-announce something?
Sure, go ahead.
So on the The May, I think it's May 28th, the Tuesday, you're going to be on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have the former mayor and another guest who hasn't confirmed yet. So I'm
Jonathan
not going to
Rothschild.
It. Jonathan Rothschild will be here. And we will discuss not only what a corporation's responsibilities to a community are,
mm-hmm.
but what the community's responsibilities to a corporation are in terms of creating all of the things that go into an infrastructure, including an educated workforce, and some of the other things that are included in what President Biden has called infrastructure reform.
And I believe that's Tuesday, May 25th, right here on
right.
the Buckmaster Show. Okay, Shelley, have a great week. See you in a week.
You too, Bill.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios since 1970. Green Things has been the go-to place for all of your gardening needs. Green Things on a lovely 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo Village and all of that great fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Oh, what a year this has been. The COVID year has taken a toll on personal connections. It's contributed to the public health epidemic of loneliness. There's a company here in Tucson called Pyx Health. That's P-Y-X Hill Health that is addressing this really terrible issue of loneliness. And let's welcome now on the live line Pyx Health founder and CEO Cindy Jordan. Cindy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about Pyx Health. Why did you start it, and what is it all about?
Yeah, so actually, this is my second healthcare IT startup company. I sold my first one, and after that, I thought, you know, I would never do it again. But yeah, it's not the easiest of endeavors. But my stepdaughter, she suffers from bipolar, and there was a year around in 2017 where she had a really horrible decline. And, you know, it was riddled with a lot of ED visits. There was addiction in there, inpatient. She ended up in an inpatient facility. And so after it was kind of all said and done, we went back as a family and took a look and said, you know, I thought, what did we miss? Like, what were the early indicators that maybe could have staved off this, like, horrible kind of episode? And the answer was that she was feeling profoundly lonely. Like, and if you think about loneliness as a chronic condition, it really was the predicator for everything that came after. And so when I started looking at what we were doing around loneliness, particularly in healthcare in the United States, the answer was nothing. And this, of course, was pre-pandemic. But like in countries like the UK and in Australia, they have loneliness czars, and they treat loneliness as like we would any chronic condition, like diabetes. Like they go through effort to address it because they understand that it has profound effects on the body, on the brain, and then of course on health and mental health outcomes. So that's kind of what the reason why I started Pyx. And really is a lot of the passion behind, you know, still what we do today. And then the solution of Pyx is simple. We know we needed technology because loneliness is so pervasive. And after the pandemic, it will be the tsunami of, you know, the tsunami effect. I mean, people are going to have a very hard time reconnecting. It is profoundly affecting people's health. So we use a chatbot, and his name is Pixar, and he's very funny and empathetic, and he tells jokes, and he never, ever, ever acts like a clinician. He acts like a friend in a coffee shop. But of course, there's science behind him, and he does a lot of sort of understanding where people are. And when he finds people that aren't doing well, that are chronically lonely or anxious or depressed, or they might have an urgent social determinants of health need like food or transportation, that's when the other, I call this the peanut butter and chocolate solution, the other part kicks in, and we have a compassionate care center, which is really a big call center of people that we call Andy, and that stands for authentic, nurturing, dependable, your friend. And the Andes will intervene when we find people who are in a state of need. And what they'll do is they'll literally provide companionship. They'll help people find food if they need it, a ride to the doctor, set up doctor's appointments. And so between Pixar and Andy, we've really found a very impactful way of addressing loneliness.
And how does this, how do people get involved in hooking up with this digital platform, Cindy?
Well, right now, it's generally offered through somebody's health insurance plan. Mm-hmm. But we do have a version that if somebody went to the App Store, they could download it and use the platform. the way to you just go through and sign yourself up. But what we try to do is do it through people's health plans, only because when we find people who have needs, resources, right? They need I'm trying to give an example, maybe a behavioral health practitioner. They need somebody to, and maybe it's telemedicine or et cetera. When we're partnered with a health plan, we have all of these resources that are at the fingertips of the health plan that we can give to the clients, to our users. When someone uses the platform, even though they still get Pixar and they still get Andy, the resources aren't the same as, or nearly as robust as when we're partnered with their health plan.
I understand there was some cost savings involved, too, in a recent white paper. They were using Banner University health plans. What was the conclusion of that white paper?
Yeah, so the short version to that is that we find that when people are chronically lonely, they utilize the healthcare system differently than someone who isn't. So, and that generally translates into a lot of emergency room visits that are avoidable, meaning they're not there for physical health reasons, they're there because they're lonely. And so when we did this case study with Banner, we looked at 1,100, or Banner actually conducted the case study, 1,100 PICS users versus a control group of 10,000 non-PICS users. And the people that were using PICS had a major reduction in emergency room utilization and inpatient stays. And so if you think about the cost to the healthcare system, it translated to about $5,083 for 6 months for every PICS Health user. So these numbers in healthcare, in particular, are pretty substantial. It's hard to have that kind of an impact over the way that a person utilizes the system.
Where can people find out more about PICS? And again, it's spelled PYX Health.
PYXHealth.com.
What's next for you? I mean, you said this is your second startup. How many years are you into the PICS program?
Yeah, so we went live in the market in August of 18. So we're still about 3 years or close to 3 years. We recently took a professional round of financing. So because last year we grew 2,088%. As you can imagine, So what we did is we've taken some money so we can really expand our product offering, get into more states, reach more people. We're going to start partnering with employers because we know there's a lot of research out there showing that the workforce was lonely to begin with. And now post-pandemic, it's actually going to affect productivity and the health of workers. So we're hoping next year to be in a lot more markets. Right now we serve about 21 markets, so we'd love to see that grow.
And you're based right here in Tucson.
This is it. I mean, it's best place ever to run a business, and anybody who says otherwise, I mean, you know, it's like when you're in San Francisco or Austin in those competitive markets, you're constantly competing for employees. But we have the best employees. They're smart. A lot of them are U of A graduates. It's a very special thing to build a business like this in Tucson.
All right. PYX, that's PICSHealth.com. CEO Cindy Jordan, thank you very much. Continued success at PICS. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right. Buckmaster continues in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Margaret Regan from the Tucson Weekly is next.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, our fine sponsor for so many years, is once again welcoming out-of-state visitors to the Land of Enchantment. Get in the car. It's only a three-hour drive approximately east of Tucson. Lots to do, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and on it goes. You can find out about all the many things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Also great places to stay. I'm so happy that they are back and they are ready to welcome Southern Arizonans back to New Mexico. And we are always ready to welcome our arts contributor, Margaret Regan, who is the longtime arts writer for the Tucson Weekly. I think she started back in 1990. She's the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, and The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. Both books still very much available and in demand. And as the immigration issue heats up, Margaret, everybody wants to take another look at your books, which is good news. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing well, but I have a little bit of allergy today, and I'm hoping my voice will hold up for you.
Well, I think we can get through the 10 minutes with you. You sound pretty good right now. The good news is the art scene is starting to get fired back up, isn't it?
Yeah. Surprisingly, you know, you just never know when we're going to get these trends. But I did write a story for the Weekly, it's in the paper right now, about little things happening in the arts. And it's interesting to me that the different organizations trying to do things all seem to be trying to be very careful and clever about keeping their artists and the fans safe from the COVID. So we look at dance, and Ballet Tucson is sending its dancers to perform in the great outdoors this month. You know, normally we see dance in theaters, but they had a trial run back in December. They did some outdoor concerts, very short, you know, because you're not supposed to have crowds of people together for a very long time. But that was a big hit. People were so happy to see dance, so they're doing it again. Three concerts this month in April.
I think they've got one April 18th. That's a Sunday at the Brandy Fenton Memorial Park, 11:30 a.m. and 12:30. And then they do a final show at the Rialto Regional Park near the racetrack on the 24th, Saturday at 5:30 and 6:30. So I guess you could bring your blanket or chairs, and it's free, and it'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, and great dancers, and their choreographers from the company have created all new dances for these. So, you know, they're taking it very seriously. And, you know, I went to one of the ones back in December, and it was just lovely. But I have to caution, they are very short, only about 20 minutes, because, as I said, you know, they don't want the crowds to stick around. But it seems like some really nice pieces coming up.
How about theater? Are things starting to come back there?
Well, in some ways, yes. In some ways, no. Gaslight Theater, interestingly, is performing outside. They have that great big porch, on the front porch in that building. So they're performing there, and I believe you can either sit in your car or use one of their tables. They're having tables and chairs out front. And right now, you can go there and stay quite safe outside watching Buccaneers of the Caribbean. You know, they're great for sort of silly and funny and just delightful kinds of shows. The Rogue Theater in town has been using its actual theater, but they give you a choice. You can either go to the theater and sit there with, you know, not very many companions. They have all these empty seats. Or you can buy the video and watch it at home. Upcoming is Shakespeare's As You Like It. It's one of my favorite Shakespeare plays, about a woman who dresses as a man, who dresses as a woman, and it goes back and forth. And it's really one of the funnest and kind of most interesting of his female characters. You know, and I got tickets for their last show to watch from home. It was The Heath, an Irish play. And it was really very enjoyable just even to be at home and see it. So that's good. And then Arizona Theater Company is not coming back in the flesh at all until the fall. But they're doing a lot of stuff online. And actually starting tomorrow, you can watch a free play, a short. They're calling it an audio play, so apparently it doesn't have visuals. But it's a short play, and it's going to star John Larroquette. I don't know if you remember him from television.
Yeah.
He's had, you know, he's a big time guy with lots of prizes in his career. So you can start watching tomorrow, April 14th, up into the 19th, and that's free. So that's nice.
What about this piece over at the Tucson Desert Art Museum over on Tancredi? Not to be confused with the other desert museum. Gets a little confusing. You wrote about this in the Weekly, right?
Yes, I did. That was in a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
The show is called The Dirty 30s. New Deal Photography Frames the Migrants' Stories. This is really fascinating to me. I love those New Deal photographers, particularly Dorothea Lange. I'm a big fan of hers. And all those photos are kind of in the archives in Washington, D.C., and anybody can use them and blow them up. And so that's what the museum there did. They have all these photos of the New Deal photographers that worked in the Depression. And in this particular case, they were looking at the migrants who had lost their homes in the Dust Bowl. So I found the show really fascinating. One of the things that was interesting to me is I think a lot of people know that the Dust Bowl refugees were trying to get to California.
Right.
You know, they were in the middle of the country. It's a horrible history of terrible. The idea that if you went to an arid place and dug into the ground, you would bring across the rain, that the rain would come. This was a widely spread belief, and these places were very arid, and people, you know, dug up the dirt, and then rain still didn't come, and they had terrible drafts, and then without all the plants that they had, you know, the old prairie plants, they couldn't do anything anymore. And then, you know, there was the Dust Bowl. The place was so dusty, and it killed a lot of people. And anyway, they mostly tried to get to California. There was this idea it was the Garden of Eden, which it wasn't.
And Dorothea Lange is really the most famous of those New Deal photographers. So they have some photos up. Yeah, they're able to do that, I guess, because those are like in the public domain.
Yeah, they're in the public domain.
From the National Archives. I really hadn't thought of that, but being in the public domain, the museum can do that without worrying about copyright issues.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's a gift to Americans that we all own those photos. And so they for this show, they blew up a lot of the photos, in a size that doesn't look like a little, picture coming out of a camera.
Right.
But I found it really fascinating that it did reflect a lot about on these people. A lot of these people came to Arizona because we have cotton growing here. And people on their way to California would stop here in Arizona to pick the cotton and get a little money before they got to California. And Dorothea Lange was here in Arizona, documenting this. And the conditions under which these people lived were just appalling.
This museum is the Tucson Desert Art Museum. It's over on Tancredi. I have limited hours, I understand. The show would be available Wednesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then noon to, or 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday.
Yeah. And this, again, as I mentioned, all the groups seem to be trying very hard to keep people safe so, they don't stay open for a really long time. They limit the number of people. It's not a problem getting in there, but everybody has to observe social distancing, and you have to wear a mask, and they have the hand stuff, that you rub on your hands when you get to places
Sure. Nowadays.
So, yeah, I would highly recommend it, and just get in there early enough so that you don't miss it. It's not the usual hours.
And our performing arts theaters, the Rialto and the Fox, trying to move slowly forward, I guess.
Yeah, I have not spoken with the Fox lately, but I have seen that some, plans to have shows in the fall are happening. The Rialto is still closed for music, but interestingly, they've sort of turned themselves into a gallery right now, which I think is really a neat idea. So they have some of their regular photographers who take pictures of all the rock and roll concerts there, and you can go now and either Friday night or Saturday night and see a whole bunch of great photos of, your favorite artists. So,
yeah, and I think
so that's pretty nice.
Kathy Rivers is a good choice from KXCI, the new director at the Rialto.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
All righty.
Oh, well, that's great.
Margaret, I'm out of time, but thank you very much. Always a pleasure, and
Okay. Stay
safe, okay?
I will. You too.
All right, Bill. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Wrapping it up on this Tuesday afternoon, and we have Dave Ramsey and Ramsey Solutions. That's always a fun show. Thanks to John Couch, Engineering Producing. Have a great afternoon, everybody.